This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
With his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me soft.
Healing me softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. I think it sounded pretty good, Sean. What do you think?
Where's Warren Hill?
I don't know. I can't get... You talked to him.
He's trying.
You talked... Yeah.
He wants to do the show question. I have to do a whole show with him, and then I do a show with you.
Yeah, he's got to take 5 minutes of your valuable time, wear you out by the time you get on here.
I'm so tired.
It's like you're basically playing a football game and, preseason game, and then you got to go play the real thing like the very next,
it is.
Hour.
It's like Dion gave me four snaps and then took me out and then brought me in for four more.
What's going on with that, by the way, Sean? I mean, I've seen all these reports that Staub's going to go, and then coach.
I don't see how you could not start Staub, and I was with the Broncos story yesterday, and I know we'll get into that a little bit, but if I remember correctly, he's like, oh, the Pete Tamble report, the national report. I haven't made up my mind at all. Now he's getting the majority of the snaps. But I haven't made up my mind at all. We all kind of went. But he's getting the majority of the snaps. This is how that works. We can do the math. So it's complicated. I respect the sensitivity. I respect the cloak and dagger going into a tough kind of coin flip kind of game that you really want to get. But you've kind of got two options. Your two most talented guys don't run the Shermer offense great, right? Like, and Juju's not running anything great, to be honest. And he probably needs Richard. That's okay. He should be in high school. It's not his fault. But you either play Staub with Shermer and have something of a vertical passing game, or you run more Salter, and it's a lot of screens and escapes and rollouts and kind of dinking and dunking it. I don't know. It's kind of an imperfect situation.
Yeah, it really is. It's just I look at it and go, okay, all offseason we're talking about Caden Salter, we're talking about Juju Lewis, and it's like, okay, it's those guys. I actually think it's a bad – now, this isn't a knock on Staub, but if the guy we weren't talking about at all suddenly becomes the starting quarterback, I don't know what that says about your team going forward.
Well – it doesn't say anything good.
Right.
It makes you wonder what you've been doing for 4 months, and what you're seeing. But it goes back to, God, it's like the oldest cliche in the book, and yet it absolutely applies to this situation, is that when you have multiple QBs, it means you don't have a QB at all. And they don't. It's just kind of all these imperfect pieces to try to make up for the best, and you're coming off the best passing QB you ever had in Shadur, in a system that really meshed with him well, or more likely, as we talked about, Shadur had veto power. Shadur was the OC. I mean, let's be real about that. Like, it'd be like, okay, here's this. What do you want to do? I'm going to do this. Okay. And of those three guys, and I think there's some of this is what we saw last Saturday, is, and actually, again, it's not all just what they do, it's what they say. Staub said, on that first touchdown to Sincere Brown, we weren't to go. I didn't say, I just checked to go. I looked at it and said, yeah, we're going to do a go, because it's like, okay, here's a 5'11", 5'10", Delaware corner, and I've got a 6'5", 6'5 guy, power four guy. I think I'm going to check to that because I'm going to win that fight. And they won a lot of them. That wasn't what Shermer called. That wasn't what they wanted to run. I wonder if what we saw from an effectiveness standpoint that just struck out with everybody, A, yeah, it was Delaware. But B, Staub trusts his veto power. You know what I mean? I don't know that Salter would trust that he has that political clout to say no. I mean, Shador had that clout. He's in the family.
Yeah.
You know, he could do what he wants. And I'm not sure those other two QBs that were the presumed two-headed monster kind of going into this, I don't know that they feel they have that veto power. I think Staub does because he's like, what have I got to lose? Like, I've run this before. I've been here longer than anybody. And if I think this play is garbage or is not going to work, I'm going to check us into something else. And I don't know those two guys are doing that. You know, it seems so different when he went in there and ran what he ran, you know, Staub.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Meanwhile, in Fort Collins, Sean, and it's interesting because your article, your story, CSU football coach Jay Norvell needs to stop treating BFN like he's his BFF. We're seeing, you know, I saw Justin Michaels' tweet from earlier that Jackson Brousseau is starting to get some reps with the ones right now. So that's interesting. Do we have a little bit of a quarterback competition going on in Fort Collins?
I think we need to have a quarterback competition for Collins because we need to have a quarterback discussion in Fort Collins. And none of that is personal. I like Brayden personally, as do you. I don't know anybody who doesn't. He's a good kid. He's a nice story. Is he a better QB on the field from what you've seen than he was in Boulder 2 years ago?
No.
And that's just reality. And no one says that with like, oh, Joyce, you stupid Rammies. No, it's like, we keep waiting for this corner to turn, and it just keeps being the same guy. And this schedule, this season, and this coaching staff, at some point, Jay Norvell's going to be coaching for his job this season. I hope that's not the case. I don't wish it upon him, but it feels like that's coming.
Yeah.
And it might be these 2 weeks.
I think so.
Like the performance shocked so many people, myself included, of just – and I've been to some Iowa State, Northern Iowa games. I've been to some Iowa State, Iowa games. They're all – yeah, I'd be careful with the little brother of the little brother when baby brother, you know, brings a fight because it's their Super Bowl. And you got to be – it's different when that's you. And, you know, CU's our Super Bowl. Well, you're UNC Super Bowl. This is a different deal. And full credit to them because they got robbed, and that's all you need to say about that. But UTSA and Washington State, if you're – and I'm not wishing this – if you're 1-3 after these two games and you're John Weber – and I had to look at the sheet of the offer, the J contract stuff I have on hand. Let's just say this. It's going to get really, really uncomfortable. I think a split even would feel slightly uncomfortable. But if you would lose those two, and you could, you shouldn't, you probably won't, but you could. Certainly if you play like that, you will. If you're 1-3 hitting league play, I think it's going to get really loud and really nasty. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we don't run into that. But I'm starting to get those bad Carl Durrell vibes again where, ooh, this is – you're losing people. And now we've seen that before, and I hope it doesn't get there. But these are two big weeks after this bye that could really shape what the mood of this fan base is.
Yeah, 100%.
Which right now isn't good.
No.
Right now isn't good.
No, it's pretty bad.
You've got 2 weeks to win them back. And if you don't, I think we got trouble in River City.
Well, I was going to, you know, bring up other quarterback stuff like Bo Nix, talk about that, but that's not the story surrounding the Broncos. It's the new stadium. It's the retractable roof. It's all that. That's the talk of the town now.
It is. Where are you on that? I wrote to today's paper. I'm good with it. It's you've raised the roof without raising taxes. You kept it in the city. You're paying for it yourself. There are some fine print things that we can get into and that your producer and I got into a little bit. But I think it's a win. There are a lot worse scenarios.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with it. The retractable roof thing, you know what, Sean? I remember going to games, and it was cold and snowy and stuff, but that was cool, whatever. But I also don't care if it's, oh, the snow. You remember the snow. I don't care. Yeah. I want to see good football.
Also, there aren't that many of those. Do you know what the average temperature of the last 15 home games?
No, what is it?
The playoffs, last 15 Broncos home playoff games, going back to the drive, going back to January 1990, because that's all I heard on Twitter right away was two things. It was PSL and I'll miss the snow games. Okay, we'll get to the PSL things because they're right on that one. Snow games, I'm like, well, how many of those were there? The average temp is 40 degrees. I think five of the last six, it was over 42. I'm like, this is kind of a myth. I mean, it's an awesome myth. It's great. Again, child of the NFC North. The old man's a Bears fan. I love the frozen tundra. I love all that stuff. Outdoor football is great. It's the best. Outdoor playoff football is great. It's the best. It does not snow at Broncos games as often as you think it does. And not as often as you remember.
So, Sean,
the folk memory is greater than the fact.
Would they keep the roof open then during the games unless it was just like one of those days where it's like negative whatever?
Yeah, I think they want to, but I think the gray area is going to be one historically in the league. This is the one downside of that, and where the contrarians are right, because this happened in Dallas a lot, is that if it's anything remotely below 20, they'll try to shut it, because then the TV folks who ultimately make the call, television will tell them, yeah, you should shut this. And they'll go, well, TV is paying for this,
yeah.
And that's that. I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope that the Penners and the Broncos, the money elite, whomever, push back and say, no, our threshold is it has to be like Armageddon, plague, and locusts before we shut this thing. Now, for basketball and indoor, air quote, things, yeah, sure, that's your default mode. It's the roof is there for the default indoor things, but by God, you're going to have to put a barrel sawed-off shotgun to make us shut this. TV is going to decide that, and I'm afraid TV, in a lot of cases, is going to demand it shut a lot more times than we want. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But historically, the NFL tends to do whatever the networks tell them. And I hope that isn't the case here.
So what's the negative in all this, Sean? I mean, because I'm all positive about it. I mean,
No, it's better than Lone Tree, right? It's better than Aurora. I mean, not if you live out there. I mean, it's a lot, tons of development out there by the airport. I'm parking there tomorrow before I go to Houston. Like, I could see it. And if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have been like, oh, it's going out by the airport. Look at all this land. Look at all this space. But the Penners, the city and the state were smart to get out in front of this 3 years ago with this organization, the new ownership, and say, well, you're clearly going to be doing this because, again, 30 or 35 years tends to be the expiration date on a lot of these facilities. Hey, if you guys are getting out front on this and are looking to change this, let me show you something. Look at this little rail yard we have here. It's got a good location. It's got potential for multiple mass transit opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll give the state some credit on that front for getting out front and making it more appealing to the Broncos, not just to go to where there was the most obvious plot of land, which is obviously around here. It's a development around the airport because there's just nothing but land. So I think it's good. And the negative, you ask me, what's the negative? Well, PSLs are coming.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Degrees, and it's just how basically you're about to get tariffed. You're about to get tariffed on your seats. And I have a lot of friends who are longtime Broncos season ticket holders, and they like this. They're cool with the retractable roof. But they're like, God, I'm hating this. The PSL is a dirty word. And it's coming. And I think if you are a long-time general admission kind of cheap seats, air quotes, season ticket holder, I think it's going to come as a sticker shock. And I feel really bad for those folks because I just don't see how we aren't pulled into that rabbit hole. That's just where the economics, particularly, it's a trade-off, particularly the economics of private stadium funding. These ones that you've seen, and they come back and go, okay, we'll pay for it. It's a $1 billion facility. But we're going to stick it to the season ticket holders for the rights to come back, and then you start cutting in your fan base and making it accessible, and you cut down the the points of entry for different income levels of your fan base. And that's not cool.
Yeah.
And I'll be very curious how the Penners, who haven't taken a lot of steps wrong, and when they have, Nathaniel Hackett, they course correct very quickly. I'll be very curious where they put those price points are, because, again, that's a fee for just the rights to buy season tickets. I think those fees are coming. Where they set them and how they stagger them will be extremely fascinating to watch, because many sources have told me they're coming. But they also know that that's an extremely sensitive topic.
Yeah, we'll see how the ownership group reacts to that, because it seems like they do listen. They do seem to listen to the fan base. That might be something for sure. Sean, appreciate you as always. Man, great write-up. There's a lot happening. A lot happening throughout this area. It's awesome.
There is. Look forward to talking after my Texas trip this weekend. I think we'll have plenty to talk about, too. So.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Keeler, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude. See ya. Bye-bye.
See ya, man. 37 minutes after the hour. Yeah, that's going to be tough for the season ticket holders, Mike, that we're paying one thing and then suddenly, you know, the price goes up on them. Yeah.
Does that mean I can have season tickets now?
You have to pay a lot. Like, basically you're paying for what you're paying for season tickets. And then with the new stadium, they got costs, you know? I mean, they're rich, but they still want to make money off of this thing. That's why you do anything. You want to make more money off of it.
I suddenly become more valuable as a producer, so I'm going to need more money.
Eastside Chris says, love how I just ignored that, but to host a Super Bowl, need retractable roof. Temperature required is average 50 degrees. Yeah. And that would be a boost for the economy pretty big. So... And the area, not just Denver. I think the entire area. 38 minutes after the hour. Oh, go ahead, Mike. What did you have?
I was going to say, don't put all the, you know, extra tariffs on the Denver Broncos fans. You know, put it on like the Swifties who want to come to Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, just charge them quadruple.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. All right, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.